Well, I'm here with Daniel Dunsford from AR Cashflow. How are you, Daniel?
I'm very good, Justin. Thank you for asking me to do this interview. I'm very excited about it.
Well, thanks for setting aside the time to chat. So this is very unusual, Daniel. Normally, when I interview people, it's because they're clients of ours and we've worked with them to build a sales function. But I came across you seemingly by accident. We ended up chatting, and I had no idea that you had been following along and building out your sales function along the lines we advocate. And when we chatted, I was surprised at what you've achieved and the success you had. So I thought I'd get you to come and share the story to empower other people, I guess, to understand that they can do this by themselves. It's difficult, but it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, just on that note, I happened to have coffee with an introducer of ours the other day, and we got talking, and somehow your name came up, and I think you might find is another one like us who's implementing some of your systems and processes into his business as well. But I don't think he's actually formally a client of yours, or he might not be.
Okay,
So
that's
there could be a few of us around.
well. It would be nice to know because, and I'll get you to introduce your company and to tell the story in a second. But I've got to say, I pretty much formed it. We've had over the years a couple of organizations that I'm aware of do a really good job of implementing by themselves. But for the most part, organizations fail, and it always disappoints me because I would love to be able to boast to potential clients of ours who want to engage with us, or not even potential clients, to anyone who wants to engage with us. I'd love to be able to boast to them that it isn't impossible. In fact, it's easy enough that you could do it yourself should you have the time and the patience. So the fact that there are people like yours, I find very people like you is very exciting. So Daniel, can you start off by just describing your business briefly?
Look, I was thinking about this interview last night and about your processes as with respect to what we do. It all starts with having a unique type of product that
Oh,
or
let's go
service
back,
you offer.
Daniel. Let's go back and just explain what your business actually does.
Yeah,
What's
well, we're a niche trade financier, so we have there's probably only a handful of people in our industry to provide our type of product in this country. And even those that do come and go. So what we do is we finance small businesses who have purchase orders from large businesses who might be bringing stock in from overseas or trying to buy stock from other companies here in Australia. So what we kind of prime their till, if you like, to allow them to bring the products in and deliver them on credit terms.
Okay, so I guess the question that I asked you and everyone listening to this is going to be asking is it factoring?
One component of our businesses is a factoring product, so that's how we collect out on our trade finance. But our funding is pre-invoice, so with factoring, you need to have delivered the products to finance the invoice. But with our business, you don't need that. All you need is the purchase order. We'll take that order as collateral or a form of security, and then we go to your manufacturer overseas without the invoice. We issue them a letter of credit or a bank guarantee. We pick the stock up, and we make sure it gets delivered to your customer. When it does it, then we factor the invoice and pay out our trade finance.
Okay, interesting. So it's an exciting proposition, particularly for faster growing businesses, I'm sure. Tell
Oh,
me
yeah,
ab
it is.
yeah, tell me about your sales function. But and then, now, how were you introduced to our stuff? Did you start reading online, or what? How did you hear about us in the beginning?
You know, I don't actually remember, but I think it probably was an online. Where I found you was online, but I had been to one of your lunch and learns. I read pretty much all the material that you've published online as well. But yeah, I mean, and I've done one of your webinars as well.
Okay, so what did your sales process or your sales environment used to look like?
Well, we That's a good question. It's hard to actually remember now that we do it so well. But we used to run similarly to other businesses that do a similar thing to us, like other factors, where you would just have salespeople out there catching and killing their own, processing the leads, putting the whole credit submission together and then submitting it to our office, and then we would settle it. So they were doing a whole raft of responsibilities, making cold calls, doing relationship management appointments, prosecuting leads. And what we found was, I'll stop there, actually.
Okay. That's good. So how many of them did you have?
We always had one or two at any one time out in the field.
And what were the What were the shortcomings of the model?
Well, you just didn't know. You kind of didn't have any control over what they were doing to make sure that they were doing the right kinds of activities. I mean, we had a CRM system, but what are people putting into the CRM system? Are they really doing it, or what activities are they? It was a nightmare. We went through a number of sales people over the years because we just couldn't get them to deliver, because we were trying to get them to generate their own leads, trying to do everything. It was just it didn't work.
Hard to scale.
Yeah, well, that was the problem. I mean, if you look at other types of businesses in our industry, they always have a team of salespeople, and you always find it's just one of them that's any good. The rest of them are pretty average. And you're thinking to yourself, well, we don't want to be tied to finding that right salesperson, then being tied to them, our success being tied to their results.
So interesting. So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. You've got the Pareto principle in reverse almost. You've got the 20% of the sales force creating 80% of the return. So you've got the other 80% consuming most of your available headspace. And then if you want to scale it, you're faced with the proposition of somehow, managing to scale that. The promise, I guess, is you can find more of the top performers. But then even where the top performers are concerned, they're a bit of a curse as well as a blessing, because they tend to misbehave a little, and there's always the concern that they can leave and hold you hostage
concern. Yeah, that's the biggest concern. Yeah. And you just can't get consistency in delivery. So, like I said, if that guy leaves, or you just, what do you do then? You take another 2 years to find a good salesperson. But you need to have a process that's not tied to purely individual performance.
Okay, so let's not talk about the transition now. Let's jump ahead. And do you want to describe what your sales function looks like today?
We have leads are obviously generated by the company. So we produce a lot of content, and when those leads get thrown up, we have a sales coordinator. Her job is to make contact with that inquiry, and basically, as long as there's some chance of us doing a deal, sell an appointment for our field salesperson. So once they sell that appointment, our field salesperson goes out there and prosecutes the lead.
Okay, so you have a promotions function, which we'll dig into in a second. You have a sales coordinator who owns the portfolio of open opportunities.
Correct.
And who plans the calendar of a salesperson. Now, you're talking in the singular, one sales coordinator, one salesperson. Does that mean you have less sales capacity than you had before?
No, if you look at where our business was, even 18 months ago compared to where it is today, it's a serious multiple of revenue compared to what we were producing before. And that's in a very short space of time. I mean, we're a smaller business, so obviously the results are going to be a lot bigger compared to a bigger company, I assume. But yeah, the results for us have been massive.
Yeah, so what sort of increase in effective capacity have you seen? So the way I'd normally judge this is to count up the volume of appointments that were performed in the old model, and compare it with the number of appointments that are performed in the new model across the team as a whole.
Before you would probably be struggling to get... Look, we had a pretty good appointment rate before, but the problem with the salespeople is they would run out of appointments a lot, but they were probably doing, say, 10 appointments a week, but now we probably do between 20 and 30. And I say 20 and 30, I mean, when I was doing the sales function myself for a while, and I know some days I would do 6 appointments, and that was tiring, but, and I know some weeks I was doing 30 appointments. Probably now, though, once you settle down into a rhythm, you probably can prosecute between 15 and 25 leads a week, face-to-face.
Yeah. Yeah, appointments a week. Well, how long is an opportunity open for on average?
What do you mean by that? Like, how long does it take for us to settle
Yeah,
the
from
deal?
when you receive the inquiry to when you either win it or lose it.
Oh, look, it can be anywhere up to 6 months because it's B2B. Sometimes it takes a while, but usually, if we prosecute, if we get a lead coming today, we can have the deal settled within 5 to 10 working days.
Okay, and the ones that you lose obviously pull the average down too. So the average is probably going to be 40 or 50 days, I would suspect.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Good. So you have quite a number of opportunities open concurrently.
Yes.
Do you know off the top of your head how many you have open currently?
Well, we have different opportunities at different stages. So we would probably get into, I'm just looking at our deal board from here, that's all. So our deal board at the moment, we've probably got, and these are deals where we've issued proposals. So the client's committed to go ahead with us. We've issued pricing, we're waiting for them to sign off on the proposal. There's probably 14 on our board at the moment. But in terms of opportunities, the calendar's probably booked out 5 to 10 working days ahead at the moment. It's funny in Australia, though, at the moment in school holidays, it tends to slow down a little bit, which is good because it gives my sales guy a little bit of a break because he does
Yeah.
interstate.
So
But usually, yeah, we're.
is your sales guy someone who was there in the old model who's survived, or have you started someone new?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we first moved to your type of model, I was the field salesperson, and
Which
about 9 months ago, sorry.
is a great idea, by the way.
Oh yeah, I mean, in our kind of business, it's a very technical sale. So yeah, I was doing it originally, and then Lee, who was actually managing the office, we swapped roles. So once I implemented your processes and put them in place, and I got them working properly, I stepped out of the role and back into running the office, and I swapped roles with Lee, and he's now running the sales function. He's been working with me for over 10 years.
Yeah, and that's a really smart way of doing it, Daniel. It's a credit to you that you figured out to do that yourself, because so many of our clients are reticent to do that. But if we work with a small business, I'm so set on the fact that that's important that sometimes I will make engaging with a client dependent upon the CEO being prepared to do that. If it's a small firm, I'll say, look, we'd love to work with you, but the condition is you have to be prepared to go out in the field and do the selling yourself. Because there are just too many
Well, that just
variables.
makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you need to get out there in the trenches and get a feel for what's going on and make the changes from the top down, really.
Yeah, and the difference that makes is that once you've worked in the system yourself, once you've done 30 appointments a week as you were, you don't need anyone to sell you on the model anymore. So you can drive the rest of the firm into the model with absolute conviction.
You know, that's a really good point, because what you find with salespeople is, and I don't, it's just a, it's just a, it's just a result of being salespeople, is they'll try and sell you into producing less, because it's how they'll give you this excuse and that excuse. But if you've done the job, there's no wool that can be pulled over your eyes. You know what goes on out in the field. You've done it. You know
Yeah.
what can be achieved and what can't be.
And your own numbers automatically become the baseline against which they're judged.
Correct.
Yeah, no, that's terrific. So talk about the results. What have the outcomes been?
It's been a real win for our clients, because when people bang on about banking and finance, there's no service anymore. But when you change to this kind of model, the biggest result you see is a massive boost in service to new inquiries, because they think, hang on a second, they might ring three people for a quote for your product. You're the only guy that comes out and sees them straight away. So you've got them into your sales funnel very early, and also they're getting a high level of service straight away. So it's kind of win-win for everybody. That's been one of the biggest things, besides a massive increase in sales volume.
Okay, so
So
to
I can
drive
point to two
that,
things.
and sales volume, you mean revenue, a big increase in revenue.
Absolutely,
And what's happened to costs?
Costs have gone down massively because we've had one less person. See, before we had an extra salesperson. Now we've taken that function away. So it's been huge.
Yeah,
I
so
know,
you've
salespeople can
increased
burn through cash like there's
your
no tomorrow.
You've increased activity significantly. I can see from your face that you've increased revenues significantly. It's going to be hard for you to hide that excitement. But you've also decreased costs significantly, and you've improved the service level. So that's pretty exciting. Now, a part of the solution has to have been figuring out how to increase your volume of sales opportunities.
That was a well. Once I moved into the sales function and I fixed up all that process, then I moved back into the office to focus on increasing the number of opportunities.
So how have you done that?
Well, I think a lot of your material is based on lead prosecution, and you do touch on your, and correct me if I'm wrong, but some of your material touches on lead generation. But the way we do it is through purely producing content. And actually, you've been a big help there. I don't know whether you know it or not. I've followed some of your processes there as well. So, and making sure that the business generates those opportunities. So it can be, and the key is in that area is so that those activities, the promotional activities, can be done consistently.
So what have you done specifically? I'm
Okay.
interested.
In the specifics, sometimes I don't like to say because I don't want people to know, but no, just kidding. But what we do is we produce a weekly content email where we have videos on it, and the video is designed, the video, we have a blog, we have white papers, we've got a database in the thousands, and when we send out a video, not everybody watches it, but the people that are interested in that kind of topic, which is very related to what we do, they watch the video. So, but the videos and the digital media that we produce now on that consistent basis has delivered massive lead generation results for
And it's
us.
really good quality. Actually, do you want to spell out the web address of your blog so that people can go and have a look?
It's www.arcashflow.com.au/blog. If you go there, you'll see all our videos.
arcashflow.com.au/blog. Excellent. And the video is very good quality.
Yeah, I mean, we made a conscious decision of quite a number of years ago to produce videos because we saw that as a bit of a competitive advantage, because just the way the technology was changing, anyone can make a video now, and it's really a no-brainer. So yeah, we invested. We started doing it a few years ago, and then when we got a little bit of traction with it, and now that we've got the resources because we put a good sales process in place, so now I can just focus on generating the leads. We've gotten a lot better at it.
Okay, so you have a database, and you have a house list, and you communicate with those people on your house list, and your communications are good quality, and those communications are driving inbound sales opportunities. And that's fantastic, and that's the way it should be, and the way everyone would hope it to be. I guess the $64 question is, how do you build your list?
Well, we do a number of things. We make sure that when people go to our website, that we can capture their details really easily. So we always ask them if they want to give us their name and email address. When Lee's out in the field, we get a lot of inquiries from introducers. When they call in, we make sure we capture their details and put them into our database straight away. When he goes and sees prospects, he grabs business cards. So we're feeding them into our system the old school way. Plus, we do some pay-per-click advertising on Google, which is okay. It works reasonably well. We do a bit of LinkedIn. We were talking about that the other day, you and I. So we try and do a number of different things, and yeah, just kind of our list just keeps building. So, if we add 20 new contacts to our list each week, they're pretty good weeks, because
Lots
get
of
people
clients.
lead and unsubscribe. Yeah, but we also do a lot of social media. So we do a bit of Facebook stuff, which works quite well because it allows people to get to know people behind the company, which is all just sort of brand building, and eventually it leads into opportunity generation as well. So we do try and do a lot in that space.
Okay, and you touched on another element of that a second ago, and there's probably a limit to how much you want to talk about this, but you mentioned introducers. How does that work?
Well, most of our products are sold through, well, we get all our business from accountants, finance brokers, bank. Like, we get a lot of work out of the banks, and I don't even know how that's happened, but people just find us on the web because of our media. We don't have a big SEO strategy, but yeah, the introducers are critical and referrers are critical to us getting business. So really, a lot of our media is based around producing content that they can consume.
So how do you get them, and how do you keep them busy referring?
It's a numbers game. In our product's so unique, we need to cover a lot of people. We need to cover the masses because, you know, one finance broker won't send you 10 clients a year. They might send you one client every 3 years. So you've got to look. I guess there's a couple of books around, like, you know, written by Seth Godin and all these guys about having that unique product and producing content that's unique. But the key is, and one thing that really changed with which made us change with your information or your process is that spending resources and marketing on someone who wants to hear your message. Don't go out and try and advertise to a whole lot of people that don't want to hear. So we don't cold call, and we don't, you know, cold call banks and, you know, and ask for this and ask for these kind of referrals, because these people just don't really care. We wait for someone to give us that signal, and then we throw as many dollars as we can at prosecuting that signal.
So it sounds to me like you're managing your introducers, because the volumes on a per introducer basis are fairly low. It sounds like you're managing them exactly the same way that you manage your direct clients, by adding them to your list.
Yeah, of course.
You don't send yourself or your salesperson out to visit them?
Yeah, when they generate a signal that they want to communicate with us, then we treat it like a lead, like any lead. We book the field salesperson out to see them if they want to, but sometimes they'll just talk to me on the phone. If we've met them, you know, a few times, started to get that relationship on the go, you know, we can just talk to them over the phone. They know us.
So what's sticking out for me here, and what I think shouldn't be understated, is that you have done the hard yards and you do actually have some product differentiation. You have a true competitive advantage.
That's the key. Like, I was thinking about that last night and what we spoke about a few weeks ago. It all is having a great product. You have to have that unique product. If you've got something that's the same as everybody else, then you're just going to compete on price, and we don't do that. Our competition is our client doing nothing, not going with somebody else.
Mm. Did you read, I think, chapter 9 of the book? I stressed that point. Did you happen to?
I did.
Yeah. I stressed that argument fairly heavily, that if you don't have a competitive advantage and you're doing promotions, it's almost a bit of an arbitrage play. Sooner or later, you know, you're kind of profiting from inefficiency in market inefficiency. Sooner or later, you're going to have to bite the bullet and come up with a competitive advantage. At some point, you need to become meaningfully differentiated.
Yeah. Can be 10% new, but on that note, you've got to be able to differentiate. But you've got to be able to differentiate yourself in a way that people see value in that differentiation. It's no point having, oh, we've got like this great debt collection module you can have, but if people don't want it, obviously it's useless. It's useless having that differentiation. But you've got to have something people want, and it really does set you apart from everybody else.
Okay, so Daniel, I need your help with something. We have, over the years, I've had so many people read our materials and attend our events, and I've had this recurring conversation. I'll tell you how it goes, and you're someone who I haven't had this conversation with, and I want you to try and diagnose for me what the issue is, because I don't understand. So what will happen is somebody will come up to me at the end of an event, and they'll say, oh, we're implementing your model, or the ballistics model, as it's typically called in our organization. I'll say, great, what does it look like? And they'll say, oh, well, we have 8 salespeople and we have a sales coordinator. And I just want to, I don't know what I want to do when I hear that, because I think, gosh, you know, what exactly are you referring to? You know, where have you been? How could you believe that in any way, shape, or form resembles our model? What I want to understand is, how has it been possible for you to read the material, interpret it exactly the way that it was written, and implement it exactly the way it's written, but for so many other people to read it and interpret it to mean something completely different?
That's a really good question. I do, and that's the thing. You can tell people what you do. You can say, look, here's what we're doing. They can go, it's great, but the money's made in the execution of the idea. That's where that, you know, it's in the drudgery of rolling it out and having the discipline to stick to it. I don't know why. I mean, we just the way you set out the processes just resonates with me for some reason. I'm a civil engineer. My background is I like engineering. I like pulling things down, breaking them down to processes. I don't know. It's just
when we were talking the other day, Daniel, you said exactly that to me. You said, "Oh, well, we've actually built our sales model along your lines." So I started interrogating you, of course, because I was skeptical, and I thought, "Here we go again." So I started asking you questions. So how many salespeople, and you know, what do your sales coordinators do, and do they generate their own sales opportunities? And of course, you gave me all the right answers. You said, "Well, we scaled down to one salesperson. I filled the role initially. Once we had utilization up to 100% or beyond, I swapped myself out and a new salesperson in. We have a 1-to-1 ratio of salespeople to sales coordinators, and we have a promotions function that generates sufficient opportunities to keep the salesperson fully loaded." And I couldn't believe, as you're telling me all that, I'm ticking off all the boxes, and it's magical to hear it. And I really have to take my cap and my hat off to you for implementing it exactly the way that it that we've espoused it, and of course.
Well, I should really be thanking you, Justin.
No, I think you've done us the bigger favor. It's fantastic to see. So what's next?
More promotions, produce more content, generate more leads. Obviously, we're trying to look at other types of products, but you know, we're scared of diluting our brand as well at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's a drudgery rolling it out, just trying to improve things all the time. I mean, there's other issues to look at. Is like, well, how's your salesperson prosecuting the lead in the meeting? How do they run the meeting as well? How do they sell? So there's all sorts of things to look at, but you know, we're just going to try and keep getting better at what we're doing.
So whereabouts in Australia are you based?
We're in Sydney, Mossman in Sydney.
Okay, and do you sell all over Australia?
Yeah, we do. So Lee would travel, he would do roughly 2 days interstate each week. So he does 2 days Brisbane, and then he might do 2 days Melbourne, or 1 day Melbourne, 1 day Adelaide. And then every month or 2-8 weeks, depending on demand, we'll go to Perth. But basically, we're more focused on the eastern seaboard.
Okay. And is there potential for you to build an inside sales team, either to sell the same product or to sell add-on services to existing clients?
Yeah, that's what we're looking at now. And that was our conversation a few weeks ago where I was asking you about what do we do next in that area. But yeah, the next move for us would be to, I would want to potentially, if I was going to hire two people next, our sales guy is so good because he's been working with me 10 years, so he knows the product really well, knows credit very well. I would have someone either, an inside salesperson internally to help sell the new products, which don't need to be face-to-face, and also someone to assist us to do more promotional activities.
Excellent. So you've increased revenues. Everyone likes to hear the numbers. I'm not going to ask you for absolute numbers, but can you give us some relative indication of what you've increased sales by as a result of this journey?
I can give you, our profits probably increase. The profit's really what you want to think about. And I was thinking about this, I think I knew you'd ask this question. It's probably increased, it's a multiple of 5 our profit increase would be easily. Our revenues have gone up massively. Also, I don't have to think as much about the sales function anymore. That's not my worry, is generating. So, I mean, obviously our profits increased and it's going really, really well for us. But it's that issue of like, well, I don't have to think about what's the sales guy doing now. You know, I can look at his diary. I mean, we run off Google Apps, so it's all connected and you know, anyone can dial into his diary easily. I know where he is. I know what his next 10 days are looking like. I know what our promotion schedule is. It's just just sort of, I don't want to say it gives you peace of mind, because now once that's taken care of, you're focusing on other things, improving other things. But yeah, that's so the increase in profit, yeah, it'd be fivefold at least. I mean, we just ruled off the last June 30. But yeah, just those other sort of kind of oblique, those other sort of collateral benefits as well are a big reason.
Oh, I'm losing you. The data quality got pretty bad there. Hopefully it's improved itself. You were saying the big benefit is?
Is just having a solid process for the sales and marketing functions, whereas before it was just, oh, what's going on here? It was out of control and you didn't know what was going on. But now having that control and having a really good process and system in place allows you to focus on improving other things. So yeah, that's been a big benefit.
That's great. Well, thank you, Daniel, for sharing your story. It's inspirational for me, and I'm sure it's inspirational for everyone else. And well done. You've done a good job.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thanks.